Are we on? Oh, we're on. Here we go. We're on.
We're on. Somebody plug us in.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hoops HD's NCAA Tournament Hoops HD Report. A little bit of trouble getting on the air tonight, but here we are. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. Let me start by introducing our cast. We've got an extended cast of characters tonight, and starting with the number one NCAA character himself, David Griggs. David, how are you?
I'm really good. We're going to get to this in a minute, but I think the only fair solution to this is that I take over the selection process.
we had a few problems with the committee, a couple minor ones, I think. We had some major problems. We'll get to that in a second. But let's introduce everyone else. First of all, John Stalico's with us. John S., how are you?
I'm doing fine. I didn't have as many problems getting on here as the Vegas 16 did in terms of filling their field.
The Vegas 8 now, after nobody wanted to play in it. John Tytel back with us again. John, how are you?
Good. I'm happy to announce that my bracket was 65 of the 68 correct, finished tied for 20th out of 144 on the bracket matrix. So doing pretty good.
Pretty good. I expected you to win it, though, so I'm a little disappointed in you, actually, John. Just kidding. Matt Zukowski, did I pronounce that correctly, Matt?
Yes, you did, Chad.
Joining us for the first time, and the winner of the Jerome for this year for the conference tournament champion pickers, I believe. Correct, Matt?
Yes, I did. A whole lot of luck, but hey, I'll take it.
Matt's been a longtime member of our Hoops HD mock NCAA tournament selection committee that we talk about all the time, and great to have him on our show for the first time ever, I believe, or at least since we've been doing it on Hoops HD. But let's start right at with the bracket. We're going to actually get into the brackets here. We'll have them up on the screen and doing picks and all that in a little bit. But we wanted to start with a couple of the most contentious issues with the bracket that came out. And we can start with the one seeds there. I don't know that there's much contention about Kansas or Michigan. Or, I'm sorry, not Michigan State. Kansas or Oregon or North Carolina is one seeds, but Virginia getting a one seed, Michigan State does not, Villanova does not. John T., let me start with you. I mean, what was your thoughts when you saw who the one seeds were?
I'm somewhat surprised. I really thought that Michigan State beating Purdue in the title game for the Big Ten was going to push them over the top as Virginia lost their own ACC title game to Carolina. On some level, it's moot because I believe they got matched up in the same region. So for the third straight year, I believe, we're possibly going to see Virginia against Michigan State. They're in the Midwest region this year, so call me in a couple of weeks. We'll see if they can fight it out themselves, but I was a little surprised.
Well, and David, do you think that this has to do with, and I've brought this up, and I don't know that anyone's ever agreed with me too much, but do you think that maybe the committee really just ignored that Big Ten championship game, said, hey, we just make Michigan State a two seed, then it doesn't matter if they win or lose in this game?
Personally, no, but in saying that, it's just I'd like to think that they don't. I've been told by people that I believe that they do consider those games. Now, considering does not mean factoring them in, because we considered, we being our mock committee, the Big Ten championship game, and we decided that Michigan State is who they are. They've already proven it. Winning it again basically just reproves it, and losing it shouldn't ding them since they've already proved it. And Purdue, while a win would help, it wouldn't move them up. So deciding not to make changes is not the same as not considering it at all. I've been told that they consider them, but having said that, it is a little bit odd that they, and again, we're talking about 4 versus 5, I guess, so we're not talking about a huge change. But I was a little surprised to not see Michigan State up on the one line.
Well, Matt, let me bring you in here. I don't know if you saw it or not, but Coach Cal had a real nice little rant, I think it was from last night on ESPN, about the fact that Kentucky was a 4 seed, A&M was a 3 seed, yet they had just beaten A&M, asking the committee, did we even bother watching the SEC title game? Asking his commissioner, why are we playing this title game on Sunday? What are your thoughts on this issue of here? Are they ignoring Sunday, do you think?
I would say, I think they kind of ignored the entire championship week looking at some of these choices.
Yeah.
I mean, they clearly ignored what was happening down in Orlando between Memphis and Tulsa, kind of ignored what happened in Nashville between Vandy and Tennessee, kind of ignored what Seton Hall did in the Big East Tournament, and they're like, Right. How they're 24th on the S-curve, when they very well could have been 24th going into the week.
John, that's a really good point. I mean, just to back up what he says, not just Sunday, but it just seems like that they didn't factor in all those games. I mean, how in the world does Seton Hall go out and beat two top 10 teams away from home and end up on the sixth line where it appears they were before they did that?
Well, John S., do you agree with that? And is there? Do you think that it really just looks like, hey, Sunday, even the conference tournaments don't matter. We want to base it almost more heavily on the regular season and almost ignore the conference tournaments as a little throw-in?
I'll throw a conspiracy theory as it relates to Virginia and Vanderbilt. Do you think it's possible that they dismiss some of the outcomes because of instant replay, perhaps thinking that Virginia wanted Duke, perhaps thinking that Vanderbilt should not have had their shot waved off against Tennessee to send that game to overtime? I know that means very little, but then again, there were a lot of things about this committee that didn't make sense and were completely inconsistent.
Well, John T., let me bring you back in here. One other question on the top lines. We saw that Villanova ended up being number 7 overall on the master seed list.
Exactly where we had them.
Exactly where we had them. Could have gone to Philadelphia. They played less games at the Wells Fargo Center this year just for the sole purpose of having the shot to play at home. Yet the committee sent them out to Louisville, put Xavier in the East playing in Philly, when it's closer from Xavier to Louisville, Villanova's right there in Philly. Do you think there was some type of reason for this that you can understand? I don't. My theory was that this anti-Philadelphia thing we'll get to in a second, but let me ask you about that.
Well, I mean, there were several teams from the city of brotherly love that made the tourney, so I don't know that I'd go so far as to say there's an anti-Philly conspiracy. That being said, everything you just said makes perfect sense, so I don't know if it was personal. I like to think that it's not, but I don't know if that's naive of me to think so.
Well, the reason why I have the anti-Philly conspiracy is I posted on the website actually today a little analysis I did. I went and took the master seed list, re-bracketed it myself under the bracketing rules, and one thing that really stuck out was on the, I believe it was the 9 line with Texas Tech and St. Joe's. Texas Tech right ahead of St. Joe's gets sent to Raleigh, and St. Joe's gets sent to Spokane. And if you flip those two around, it's almost equal distance for Texas Tech. St. Joe's has a lot closer trip, and you don't break any bracketing rules, other than the fact that you have Texas, Texas Tech, and Texas A&M, and Baylor all in the same region. Maybe it's this thing we don't want to have all the Texas teams in the same region. But it met all the bracketing rules, David. And I just don't – it made no sense to me.
It doesn't to me either. And there was kind of a head-scratcher last year. And I need to qualify this by saying, like, no one will ever agree 100% with the bracket unless they themselves are the one that's picking it. But there's a difference between disagreeing and not even understanding what the thought process was. I mean, is it just a real ignorance of geography among these sports guys that they're unaware how close Xavier is to Louisville and that Villanova is even in Philadelphia? I don't understand. Like, the rules say as close as possible, or not the rules, but the guidelines. And it just seems like they waive that for reasons that I don't know.
There's no cap on how many conference teams you're allowed to have in the same region. If you look at the West region, for example, it's possible that you could have Baylor, Texas, and Oklahoma all in that same region along with Oregon.
Yeah. Let's move on to the other big debate. And Matt, I want to start with the lesser of the two evils in this tournament, and that was Vanderbilt's inclusion in the first four. They're going to be playing Wichita State coming up. I believe that game is tomorrow night. You actually were the pro-Vanderbilt guy, so I want to throw this out to you. You thought they would make the field.
Yeah, I thought they deserved to make it. I mean, they're probably where they should be as far as relative to in the field. Maybe I could have bumped them to a 10 seed, but I think sending them to the first four was a nice compromise of they ran very well in the metrics. They had a couple of good wins later in the year over A&M in Kentucky. They've played pretty well on the whole from probably the middle of January on once Luke Cornett got back into the lineup and then healthy and like acclimated again after his 5-game layoff.
Well,
and the whole, I thought like where they put was okay and a reasonable mind could see. I can see where they're different. They had a poor road and neutral record. They didn't have that many big wins over teams in the field or even in consideration. But
Well, you just threw a few things out there, that they had an injury they dealt with, or with Luke Kornet during the season, that they had a couple wins late, they were hot late, that they ranked really well in every metric other than the RPI, such as the KenPom and the BPI and the like. John T., how about Tulsa? They didn't fit any of those categories.
That is the gaping wound in the bracket matrix. There was one poor soul who picked Tulsa. I'm going to give him a little shout-out because he deserves it, frankly. And that was a guy named Drew, of all things. Drew's bracketology.blogspot.com. I don't know how he got Tulsa. Maybe he was the leaker, but who knows? He's the only person. Nothing comes to mind, so maybe it is.
David, we've talked for years about the 06 Air Force pick as being one of the worst picks ever.
They at least
finished high in their conference.
I still think UCLA last year was there's absolutely no merit. The only explanation I have for Tulsa is they decided going into the conference tournaments that the hay was in the barn. That you couldn't really hurt yourself for what you'd already done or help yourself for what you haven't done, that the regular season. I don't know if they did that or not, but the one thing Tulsa did have was an out-of-conference win against a tournament team in Wichita State. That was the one thing that was consistent, seemingly, with all their picks. Wichita State on the bubble beat Utah. Vandy did not have an out-of-conference win against the tournament team, but they did play the 25th overall strength of schedule. Like, if you look at the 10, the 11, the 12 line, they took teams that beat someone significant out of conference, and one of the biggest snubs that I thought, like, we had St. Bonaventure in, they did not beat a tournament team out of conference. So
you made him so upset, David, that Chad just left, but he did jump back in.
That's how upset I was about Tulsa. I just jumped right on out.
It's a horrendous pick, and I'm not saying that I agree with it or that I don't think that it's an atrocious pick, but I don't know. When you line them up against St. Bonaventure and even South Carolina, who played and beat them, and I would even say Hofstra, although I know you weren't as big on them, I just don't even think it's close. Like, how did you not select this team?
David, in and of itself, Tulsa could see them as getting a pick because they had 5 wins against the field. They had Wichita, they had Cincinnati, they had UConn. They were the only team that won at SMU, and then there's one other team that I'm blanking on. But what makes this unpopular is they did this at the expense of Monmouth, who did everything that was asked of them in the non-conference. They won their conference outright and lost in their championship game to Iona,
who they had previously beaten.
David, I pulled up my screen here. I wanted you to take a look at this. This is our tournament survival board that we update during championship week. And going down here in the American Athletic, this is a major rules violation. You see 3 teams that were eligible. Tulsa was not on that list.
Well,
what happened here?
Well, I'm glad you said that because we were corresponding with Joe Castiglione all throughout championship week, every single night, corresponding. And I suspect that he just kind of disregarded what it was we were doing.
Well, but let's talk about some of the teams that did not make it. John S. already mentioned Monmouth. John T., you said that there were 3 teams that you had in your field that did not make it. Who were your 3 teams that should have been in?
I'm happy to say that the consensus was with me. There were the 3 teams with the most votes in brackets and bracket matrix were the same that my 3 that didn't make it. All the S teams, St. Bonaventure, St. Mary's, and San Diego State. St. Bonaventure was picked on 124 out of 144 brackets. Like, if that's not the majority, and I mean, if anybody is angry today besides us, I think every St. Bonaventure fan in the world is royally angry that Tulsa made it in the head of them.
They should be.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there was actually a statement released by the Atlantic 10 commissioner pretty much condemning the fact that St. Bonaventure was not included, saying, hey, we have to go back as a conference now, reevaluate. We need to know what the criteria is because obviously it's not what we thought it was.
In June, it's the athletic director's convention. I think the commissioner, well, and the conference commissioners are there as well. I think she will be seeking out Mr. Castiglione.
That's what John Calipari said last night when he said moving target as to what the criteria is for inclusion to the tournament.
It is, and it always has been, and unless they go to a matrix of some sort, it always will be.
Matt, what about teams like South Carolina or Valparaiso? These two teams were among the teams first four out, according to the committee, because they received one seeds in the NIT. Were you on their either their bandwagons to get in?
I kind of wanted Valpo to get in. It's a little harder with also like St. Mary's and Monmouth, who might have had stronger cases along their lines. But Valpo went out, played a good schedule, won at Oregon State, who is somehow a 7 seed, but is a tournament team, even if they're about 3 seed lines too high, in my opinion. In that, I mean, they were very competitive at Oregon, and then won their league, only lost to Wright State twice, who's not a bad team, I think finished 3rd in the Horizon. And then lost an overtime game in their conference tournament to Green Bay on a neutral floor.
Well, if you look at the most egregious teams out here, other than, say, Bonaventure, you're looking at a St. Mary's, a Valparaiso, and a Monmouth on this list here. Three teams from mid-majors that either won a ton of games in St. Mary's case or scheduled the way you're supposed to schedule in Monmouth's case. So you can't get in if you win a ton of games. You can't get in if you go out and play on the road. Is there any way in besides an automatic bid at this point for a mid-major? John T., let me throw that at you.
It seems – I think that's a great point. It's an uphill battle, and, I mean, I don't know if we're going to look back in 10 or 15 years at this selection that did not include Monmouth and just wonder how on earth they got it so very, very wrong. We might. I mean – they did a lot that was asked of them. They did have a couple, I believe, losses against the bottom 200 or outside the top 200. So I don't think it was anything personal. I think that the committee can point to a resume of Monmouth or whoever else and say, these are the reasons we didn't do it. And if the point that Calipari makes is that if you want to pick one thing, that's fine, but you can't do top 50 here, road wins here, strength of schedule here, non-conference here, like, of course it would be great if they just did one thing and everybody knew about it, but right. I think that kind of makes some of the thing magical. Like, I'd love to pick a perfect bracket every year. You know what? I haven't done it yet. I'm never going to, because there's some chance or luck or whatever thrown into the mix.
And we talked about this in the past, Chad, you and I. It's 10 different people, and it's 10 individuals with maybe 15 different ways of how they measure a team. Look at the makeup of our committee. Like, look at the different values we had. Look at the disagreements we have. It's a moving target because it's 10 individuals that are never the same.
And the fact that the committee changes every year means that what they valued one year changed because you got two people out, two new people in.
Right, yeah.
And John S., do we need to maybe consider, hey, let's make these longer terms, give everybody choices longer term, stop rotating it so we get at least some consistency? And John T., you're shaking your head. No.
I don't think that's going to have anything to do with it, to be honest with you. But I was going to go back to South Carolina and St. Mary's. I don't have a problem with them being excluded from the tournament if you go by their non-conference strength of schedule, which was, I think, in the bottom 50 in both cases. I did at least give St. Mary one of my at-large spots because they were a regular season conference champion who had beaten Gonzaga twice and I think had a few other decent wins in BYU and Stanford, where I thought, not great, but I think that's still enough to at least get to earn a ticket to Dayton.
Let me go back to the other question I had, though. John T., you've been shaking your head, so I want your answer here about maybe we need to give the committee more time on and not switch it up as often.
So I agree with more time, but not in the way that you think. So I don't think that having a permanent quote-unquote committee or a longer-serving committee is the answer. I think they're really rushed. Like we were saying, that maybe they didn't take into account all of the past week and or Sunday games. I understand that, like, part of the intrigue and the reason it gets leaked is because, like, there's this huge momentum buildup and then a quick turnaround. Like, I'm submitting my bracket at 5:15. And then they're on the air 15 minutes later, like right after the glass game ended. I understand if that's the way the system works and it can't be changed because there's a billion-dollar empire that's based on ending on this day and starting on this day and stuff. But I would like to give them, like, say, 48 hours to just take a breath, soak it all in, check out the up to the second statistics, and then make a rational group decision.
If I'm not mistaken, to John T's point, I think men's basketball is the only one I can think of, maybe women's basketball, that has championship games the day the field is released. Generally, it's released early in the afternoon, the day after the last game is played.
There is a quiet 24-hour period between the women's bracket and the last championship game.
Okay, that is normal. Men's basketball is the anomaly. It is the only one, football, and it's the only one in any of the three divisions that I know of where there are championship games the day the bracket comes out. And in this case, a half hour before the bracket comes out. And I think John's right. I think that does rush things a little bit. And when it's 1 a.m. and you're putting together 5 or 6 different contingencies, and we're just doing it for fun. Well, no, we're doing. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to imply that we weren't doing it to serve the committee. But you get tired, and you're just like, well, screw it. Let's just get it over with.
Well, let's go ahead now and move on to the actual games themselves. And let's take a quick couple seconds actually here. I'll pull up my screen. I'm going to scroll down a bit here. Pull up my screen. The first four games are going to be coming up Tuesday and Wednesday night. Vanderbilt, Wichita State, Michigan, Tulsa are the two more intriguing ones. They're the 11 seeds. Fairleigh Dickinson versus Gulf Coast and Holy Cross versus Southern are the less intriguing ones. So let me kind of start with those. David, I'm going to start with you. You're the under-the-radar guy along with me. What do you like in the two 16 versus 16 games? Anything that you're looking at for either of those games?
I'm blanking. I think Florida Gulf Coast, it would be, I'm actually looking forward to that one a little more. It was fun seeing Fairleigh Dickinson get hot and win the tournament the way that they did. Holy Cross, the one thing about them is that I don't think they won a game away from home up until the start of the conference tournament, but it's amazing how good they looked in that conference tournament, so they got a head of steam going. I wouldn't be surprised if they won that.
Let's turn to the actual, the more intriguing games. I think the best one, and Matt, I'll go back to your Vanderbilt team. I'll go back to you on this. Vanderbilt-Wichita State coming up tomorrow night. What do you see in that game? Is there anything that you're looking forward to?
You've got Wichita's great guards, Van Vliet and Baker and that, and then Wade Baldwin, who is a top 20, top 30 NBA prospect. And then Vandy's front line with Luke Cornett and Damian Jones against an undersized Wichita team who only plays like 6'8 Anton Grady, 6'8 Shaq Morris, and that. So can they contain Vandy's beef? And contrast, and then you have Greg Marshall, unanimously one of the 10, 15 best coaches, against a coach whose student paper fired them in February. So.
So do you have a pick for us?
I'm going to just go with Wichita. It's just one of those. I have enough respect for Marshall, and I think guards will be bigs in that battle. So, and then I think either way, the winner of that game has a very good chance against Arizona and even could knock off Miami, who's been a little hot and cold.
Right, well, we're going to get to that in a second here, but
question I don't know. I don't recall a year since going to this format where at least one of the first four teams did not get out of the round of 64. Am I mistaken, or has that always happened?
John S., you are a history buff. Do you know the answer off the top of your head?
Each year, the winner of the higher playing games have won at least one tournament game.
Okay, and I want to stick with you also for the Michigan-Tulsa game. I mean, do you think Michigan is going to clearly roll in this, or do you think that the injuries will give Tulsa a shot, especially given how mad everybody's been at their inclusion? Maybe they have a little chip on their shoulder.
Well, usually the teams that have the loudest noise directed towards them are going to wind up making the most noise themselves. We saw this with NC State 2 years ago when people were complaining about their inclusion, and then they beat Xavier and gave, I think it was St. Louis, an OT game before losing. But people, one of the things we don't hear about Tulsa very much, they're the most experienced team in the country, and they start 5 seniors, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, that's why they're in, obviously, because this was their last chance, and that's what's important, I guess. But let's go right into the brackets. We're going to start in the South region here. What I'd like to do is just take a look at the first round games, find out from each of you if you have any upsets you're looking at, any Sweet 16 surprises and who you think is going to win the region. And John T., let me start with you right here in the South region where Kansas is the one seed and Villanova the two. For everybody that's looking to fill out their brackets and is tuning it to us to get the hot tips, do you have any?
The hot tips, eh? I think it's going to be pretty chalky. I want to pick Arizona to go very far, but that's a biased pick. And frankly, they lost so much from last year, and Miami's been battle-tested in the ACC, so I don't see Arizona making a sneaky run to the Elite Eight or anything. A lot of the upsets come in, like, the 4-13, 5-12 games. I like Hawaii, especially because Cal is not only young, but they have a young coach in Kwanzo Martin, who a big factor in tourney success is that you have a coach who's been there several years. I think Kwanzo has only made one tourney before, so if you're loving Hawaii, I think that's a good pick. I would stay away from South Dakota State. I like them, but Maryland just seems like they're well-coached and a great starting five and size, and so I don't see that 5-12 upset happening.
David, he's not going with South Dakota State. I was kind of leaning towards them. I know you've been a fan of the South Dakota State team. Do you think they can knock off Maryland there?
Yeah, I have. I've liked them all year long. They have had a couple slip-ups, but when they play up to their ceiling, they're really good. And no, they're not as good as Maryland. Maryland's going to win that game. The one I'm really looking forward to is, and I realize this team's been streaky, I'm really looking forward to this Hawaii-Cal game. Cal was playing really well at the end of the year, but they're not nearly as good off of their home court as they are on it. And Hawaii's probably better than what most people realize. I'm looking forward to that one. The other thing is that, oh, my God, Iowa and UNC Asheville better not ruin this for us.
Yeah. Matt, let me go back to you. You mentioned already that you think that that the winner of the Vanderbilt-Wichita State game has a real good shot against Arizona. Do you see any other upsets, perhaps one of these other games, a Buffalo over a Miami or a how about this Iowa Temple game down here on the bottom?
That's one. As much as I wanted to pick against Iowa here, they are against, I think, probably the weakest team in the field, at least qualitatively, in Temple, who was 86 in the KenPom and did nothing out of the league. So I'm going to probably reluctantly pick Iowa in that game, even though Iowa's clearly fallen off a cliff the last few weeks. The one also I wanted to mention in Cal Hawaii is Cal's assistant, Yanni Huffnagel, was dismissed today for a sexual harassment claim. And that's a guy very popular, I believe, had a hand in recruiting Jaylen Brown and Ivan Rabb to Cal. And so being a tight-knit, popular coach, losing him at this time, I think is a factor. In a game, I thought that was a dangerous game for Cal anyway. I could really see Hawaii winning this game now.
And then
I think Hawaii has a chance in the next game, too. I don't think Maryland's been very up and down this year, and I think never has meshed this part. While there's a ton of individual talent, I don't think it goes together that well. And I think Melo Chimble is either hurt or just forgot how to shoot when February started.
Hawaii better adjust their body clocks real quickly because this is, I mean, it shows up as 2 p.m. Eastern time on here. That's going to be 8 a.m. Hawaii time.
I don't even think they went home, John. I don't think they went back to Hawaii.
They're on the West Coast. It's going to be a trip up to Spokane. But John S., one game we didn't talk about here that's always one of the better games is always the 8-9 game. Any thoughts on this Colorado-UConn game?
I think UConn is going to be a very dangerous team in this region, not just to get past Colorado, but Kansas seems to have a history of flaming out early. I don't think UConn is going to be the team to knock out Kansas this year, but I do think it's going to be Cal on the top half of the bracket.
Wow, so you're picking Cal not only to beat Hawaii, but to make it all the way into this Elite Eight.
The only reason I don't think they get to the Final Four is because Arizona is going to wind up knocking them off, because I think Arizona has the most experience among any of the teams in this region.
I guess I've got this up on my screen, so you didn't see my facial expression when you said that. But it was John is going with Arizona. Let me go with the region you hear in turn. David, who's your pick to win this region?
The team I don't want to say, but I'll say that it's the team that's facing Austin Peay in the first round.
Okay, Matt.
I'm also going to go with Kansas. The one I think Villanova could get out of a couple of different regions, but this is one. I think Kansas is on a mission now. They're for once playing their best ball of the year coming into March. And I think, yeah, they're having the two-point guards, having a great senior in Perry Ellis who's really stepped up in the game the last couple months, and that I don't see Kansas getting out of this reach, especially with, yeah, the one team I think really capable of it, Cal, being a hot mess right now.
John T., are you going to make it 3 out of 4 so far in Kansas?
Yeah, I mean, as much as they have a history of getting bumped out early, like the only other team I can think of even worse reputation is Villanova. So I don't see the 2 seed getting to the Final Four, so I'll stick with the 1 seed.
And I'm with you also here. I'm with Kansas coming out of this region. I'm looking at maybe they're beating Miami in that regional final, not even because I don't have the faith in Villanova until they prove that they can do something, and they have not done so in recent years by any means. Let's move on to the next region, which is the West region here, with Oregon as the 1 seed, Oklahoma as the 2. John T., let me kick it off with you again here. Your thoughts on this region and any type of upsets you may see coming in this one.
Well, I just like, I think John S. made the point earlier about all the Big 12 and Midwestern Texas kind of battles. Can you imagine Oklahoma's road could include beating Texas or Texas A&M, then Baylor, and then Kansas? I mean, it's like, it's a great story. As far as the seeds and the thing, I was really impressed by Baylor's athleticism and size and coaching and Scott Drew. And Duke was, I was there in person to watch them lose a 16-point second-half lead to Notre Dame at the Verizon Center last Thursday. So I think Baylor is going to beat Duke, Yale, and I think Baylor is going to give Oregon all they can handle.
David, he's not going with Duke. Do you have any thoughts here on any upsets that you may see in the early rounds?
Yeah. I've been thinking about this, and I know it's out on the limb, but I don't see Baylor beating Duke because I think they're going to be facing Wilmington.
I concur.
Duke has not looked that, with the exception of the win in North Carolina, they haven't really looked that good away from home. This is I don't want to play this up, but I think Wilmington is better than what people realize. They didn't really beat any teams in the field, but they did win multiple games that were not easy to win. I mean we've seen it happen before. I'm not going to go so far to say that I'm expecting it to happen, but if I had to guess, I think Wilmington takes down Duke. And this is the second 13 seed I have winning in the opening round. As far as other teams, I forget. What was the question? Just upsets? That's the only one. Upsets,
yeah, let me throw it over to John S. here. The bottom half of this bracket, the Northern Iowa, Green Bay, VCU even over Oregon State. Do you see any seeding upsets in the bottom half of this year? Or are we going to end up with that Texas A&M second round game?
It may be a quote-unquote seeding upset, but I don't think VCU beating Oregon State is really going to be that much of a stretch. I mean, I could easily see Oklahoma getting through the bottom half of this bracket, but I can see Oregon getting through the top half of the bracket simply because I think Baylor does beat Wilmington, as David had alluded to.
Matt, any other thoughts on it? And also, we didn't mention the 8-9 game yet between St. Joe's and Cincinnati.
I think the 8-9 game, you have a contest style St. Joe's, great scoring up and down the court, and then Cincy, the typical lockdown defense of McCronin. And that I think if St. Joe's gets by that game, I think they can give Oregon a real scare. It would should be one of the most fun games of the tournament if it happens. Now, the bottom half of the region, half of the region, I think VCU not only could beat Oregon State, it would not surprise me if they knocked out Oklahoma. I am not as high on this Oklahoma team as others, and that, yes, they're in a region where they could even get out of it, but they've looked like a tired team for the last few weeks, and then a team so prone to go on early on a shooting night.
Well, let's turn to some picks here, and John, you had another comment about it, though, before?
Yeah, I was going to say, when they push the St. Joe's-Cincinnati game to the late-night slots, I would not be surprised if that game put people to sleep simply because of Cincinnati's very slow style of play.
Oh, man, that might be the point here, is to give us a little, you know, wind down at Friday night after everything else is done. But let me start with you, John. Who is your pick to win this region?
I'm going to take Oklahoma to beat Oregon in this regional final.
All right. David?
I'm going with Oklahoma.
Okay. Matt?
I'm actually going to go with Texas A&M. And I love them, but I think it's more in this region than, like, if you stand down at Oklahoma. Again, Oregon, pretty good team. I still don't view them in the same light I do as probably the other one seeds. And so that I'll say A&M, their experience, and that their stingy defense, I think that's enough. It gets them out of this fairly weak region.
Yeah. Actually, one thing we didn't mention, I mean, Northern Iowa, I'm not picking them, but I think they're going to give Texas a good game in that first round. I think they are a dangerous team. But on the other hand, I do see Texas getting there. But I personally do see Oklahoma eventually winning this region at the end of the day.
I think Northern Iowa wins that game, and I think they do so just to annoy me.
John T., your pick of this region. Are you going to make it Oklahoma across the board, or are you going somewhere else?
I want to make it Baylor, but as the Sooners swept them in the regular season, I will stick with the Sooners. As impressed as I was by the Ducks, I mean, beating Arizona twice in one season, including once in the McHale Center, like, they are legit. I just think that they don't have the experience of going deep into the tourney, and Oklahoma made a good run last year, and I think they're ready to take the next leap with Lon Kruger.
Matt, let me start with you in the next region that we're up to, which is the East region with North Carolina there. You also note that Notre Dame is getting the winner of the Michigan-Tulsa game, 2-seed Xavier. Your thoughts as you look at this region and any specific upsets you're looking at?
First round, I think Stephen F. Austin might knock out West Virginia. They also play a pressing-type style who can turn you over, so they're used to it, and sometimes the best way to beat a pressing team is by pressing them. So I can see West Virginia maybe being knocked out by a veteran, experienced Stephen F. Austin team that's well coached by Brad Underwood. Not by much longer by Brad Underwood, but at least for this game.
John T., do you agree with the SFA upset, or is there another upset you're looking at here?
I love Underwood. I just actually interviewed Walkup about an hour ago. That will be posted on the site tomorrow morning. If it was any team except a Bob Huggins-led West Virginia, I kind of do want to take them. I just think that West Virginia should have been a 2-seed. I think they're going to go deep. I think they might get by Xavier. As far as an upset, I kind of like Chattanooga over Indiana just because teams that lose their opening conference tourney game have a history of not going super far in the NCAA tournament. And Chattanooga, like, they're not big and they're not a major team, but they win a ton of games, and I think they have a nice little track record and some veterans. I really like them to upset the Hoosiers.
John S., do you want to jump on the Stony Brook bandwagon or maybe Pittsburgh over Wisconsin?
I wish Stony Brook would have drawn a different matchup to Kentucky because I just don't think that's a good one for them, even with a dangerous outside-inside combo of Warney and was it Purifoy on the outside? But I still think Kentucky is going to get through the top half of the region, but let me double-check our play-in winner here, Notre Dame.
The play-in winner, Notre Dame will tell you the winner of Michigan and Tulsa. So a very football matchup there, but you know Notre Dame and Michigan.
That would be a fun one, actually.
I think Michigan gets through to that game, but I actually think Notre Dame and Xavier wind up meeting in the Sweet 16 coming out of this bracket, but no real major upsets in round one that I can think of.
Now, David, do you have any thoughts on any upsets here? And also, let me throw out there the USC-Providence game, which we haven't mentioned yet either.
I like Providence in that one. Both teams have been kind of schizophrenic, but the one thing USC has consistently been is bad away from home. I think Providence gets it done, and I hope that they enjoy I think they could stay with North Carolina for maybe all the way up until the under 12 timeout. The one team that I really, really like here, especially the way they were playing down the stretch, I know they went out early in the conference tournament or somewhat early, but I just think Wisconsin is really, really good, and I wouldn't be surprised. We saw it happen last year. If they went all the way to the Elite Eight and maybe to the Final Four.
Well, David, let me stick with you here then. Do you have a pick for a winner in this region?
I mean, I'm out on my own island, but I think it's Wisconsin.
Going with a 7.
Yeah, going with the 7. And I think we get maybe 3. I think we get all 1s and 2s like we normally do, and but a 7.
Matt, you're picking this region.
I'm going with Xavier here. I actually think I'm going to say Providence knocks off North Carolina in the second round. I think Chris Dunn and Ben Bentel are two matchup problems for Carolina in that, and then I think Kentucky will then knock off Providence. But I have Xavier beating Kentucky in a very good Elite Eight game. Mack finally getting X to the Final Four.
So you don't have the Andy Enfield at USC against his former team 16 seed Gulf Coast in the second round.
Right. They say the committee does not try and create matchups. I beg to differ. The potential Gulf Coast USC game.
John T., your thoughts on this region?
I think this is the best coach region in terms of Roy Williams, John Calipari, Mike Bray, Beeline, Huggins, just stacked with coaches. Imagine if Bill Ryan is still around, Jamie Dixon, depending on how you feel about Pitt. As far as a winner, I'm tempted to take the 1 seed Carolina because I think I picked them to win it all like months and months and months ago. Kentucky's playing really well at the right time. I know they almost got tripped up by Texas A&M in the title game, but I think the Carolina-Kentucky winner, which I don't know what it's going to be, I think it's going to be an amazing game, is going to come out alive from the East.
I agree with you. I think that would be an incredible game. I am predicting that game to not only happen. My pick is Kentucky to actually win that game and win this region. John S., your pick of the region, I think you gave it to us. Was it West Virginia?
I think one of the ironic things about this region was that they put Villanova outside this region to avoid a potential home court disadvantage for North Carolina, but that might be negated when they face Kentucky in the Sweet 16 anyhow. But that being said, Matt stole some of my thunder here because I do think Xavier beats Kentucky as well to get to the Final Four for the first time in their program history.
That would be amazing. It really would be. I kind of hate that this is in Philadelphia because if it ends up being Xavier and Kentucky, oh, what a show that would be in Louisville. I don't know. It would be a pro-Kentucky crowd, but Xavier would it would be a show if those two played.
But as it is right now, Xavier and BYU have the most tournament appearances without a Final Four.
Oh, that's some trivia. I didn't know that.
Let's go on to the very last of the regions here. This is, I guess, what we call the Midwest region. David, let me start with you this time. The big battle of Virginia up there, top with Virginia and Hampton, but do you have any major upsets here for us in the first round?
I like this Little Rock team, but I really liked how Purdue was playing down the stretch. I think that Little Rock, I think Purdue's just a little bit over their head. Again, Fresno, really liked how they were playing, and I just love the progress their program's making. And I think this year they're in via the automatic bid. Next year I wouldn't be at all surprised if they're inside the bubble. But this is the one region, when I look at it, I think we're going to see chalk.
John T., you and I both like this Fresno team coming into the season, I recall. I think we both picked them to win the Mountain West, and we were proven right, although kind of in the tournament, not the regular season. But your thoughts on could Fresno State pull off that upset against the Utah team who's coming off getting dismantled by Oregon?
Negative, but unlike David, I actually think this is going to be the least chalky region.
Really?
I really like Iona. I know that Iowa State's big, but they got a first-year coach, and they got a history of stumbling in March. I also love Gonzaga over Seton Hall. This is the Hall's first NCAA tournament in 10 years, where on the flip side, this is the Zag's 18th straight NCAA tournament. I really think experience counts for a ton in March. So I'm picking the 11th seed and the 13th seed, I think, in my bracket.
Matt, anything that you're that you're looking at in terms of the early rounds?
Yeah, I think I got to disagree with John T. here in that I like Gonzaga a lot. I always argued for them to be a 9 seed during our mock committee, but I think this is a bad matchup for them. Ismael Sanogo is quietly one of the best defenders in America, and I think his size and length and quickness will be give Kyle Wiltshire fits. I think Angel Delgado could counter with Domas Sabonis inside, and I think Isaiah Whitehead's going to be too much for Gonzaga's backcourt, which kind of has been their issue all year. It's played better down the stretch. I like Hall there, and I would not be surprised at all if Hall also knocks out a pretty good Utah team. And then, again, this is, again, I think Whitehead is going to be a little too much for Utah's so-so backcourt.
I'm actually agree with each of I agree with you about Seton Hall. I think that they do get Gonzaga. I think Gonzaga has a lack of depth problem also. However, I also agree with John T. about this Iona pick. I really like them to win this game. I agree. You know, you got the first-year coach. You got a guy like A.J. English there for Iona, who's just an amazing player. But John S., let me bring you in here, and maybe a couple games we haven't touched on yet are Dayton, Syracuse, and Texas Tech, Butler.
Yeah, Dayton and Syracuse was actually a rematch of a game that was played 2 years ago in the NCAA tournament, but given some of the other matchups that were taking place along the 7-10 line, this was a soft rule that the committee relaxed to allow this matchup to happen. But one of the reasons I would probably go with Gonzaga to win here in the first round is, given Seton Hall's aggressive style of playing at an altitude of 5,280 feet could be a little bit problematic when Gonzaga's already had some practice of playing at that altitude earlier this year. And I also agree that Iona is a very tempting upset pick in the first round.
Well, John T., how about this Texas Tech-Butler game, the 8-9 game? We haven't discussed that yet.
So I had the privilege of I got on late for the Big 12 conference call this morning, but I actually got to ask Tubby a question. He had been to 19 postseasons in 20 years, from like the mid-90s to 20 years after that, and then has hit a rough stretch recently. I asked him, like, is it weird to be back in the tournament? He's like, it's not weird, but it's good. Like, the guy's been working hard, and they're ready to get back and stuff, and he's ready to get back, and he likes being there and stuff. So they were so battle-tested in the Big 12. I think the Big East was not what at least I thought it was going to be. So even though he's been out of it for a couple of years, I think Tubby's going to get his guys – Virginia before he gets destroyed by Tony Bennett.
Okay.
And I just wanted to say, I've been so big on this Texas Tech team all year long.
It was more revisionist history here. David, you're not going with Middle Tennessee over Michigan State, though. No 215 upset?
No, I really like this Michigan State team. I like them to win the region.
Okay. Well, let me stick with you here. Who is that is your pick then, Michigan State to win the region. All right. Mm-hmm. Matt, your pick to win the region?
I'm going Michigan State as well. I think this is wrong. I mean, I think a potential Michigan State Seton Hall game could be real interesting in the Sweet 16. And then, and for once, like, Hall might actually be the tougher team of the two, but I think Michigan State's skill level this year is probably the best Izzo's ever had. So I like that, and they're still definitely tough enough team. Izzo wouldn't allow it to be anything else. I like Michigan State out of this region.
Right, John S.?
Just like one of the bracketing rules dictates that Duke and North Carolina have to play in the state of North Carolina, another rule in the past few years is that Virginia and Michigan State have to play each other in the tournament, and I think that's going to hold up, and Michigan State will beat Virginia for the third year in a row to get to the Final Four.
John T., you're up next. Are you going on this Michigan State bandwagon?
I kind of am. I think John S. Had it 100% right. The only thing is that, like, because of that, like, it's personal for these guys. Brogdon is sick of seeing Valentine and losing to him. Bennett is sick of losing to Izzo. Like, I think that if they can channel that emotion, obviously it takes more than emotion to beat Michigan State this year, but I think that if it becomes a close game late, Virginia might just, like, try to step on their throat.
I'm actually going on the Virginia – I'm going with the Virginia as my pick here. I think this is the year they break through into the Final Four. I do like this team a lot. I'll also tell you, though, and this is one of the questions I want to throw out there, we have never seen a 16 seed beat a 1 seed. Probably not going to happen this year. But of these four 16 seeds, personally, I think if there's one that's going to do it, I would go with this Hampton over Virginia game if I had to pick one of them. Anybody see a crazy upset in a 1 or a 2 seed going down in the first round? David?
No.
Matt?
I don't. It would be Bakersfield over Oklahoma if what happens, but I don't see.
It would be spectacular, but.
Well, any 1 or a 2 seed losing is spectacular, I think. John T., is there a chance you see one happening?
I'd love to, because I love when that upsets happen. That's what March is all about. I'm just not seeing it, frankly.
Stalika?
I think Weber State could give Xavier a close game because they have a big man of their own to match up with some of Xavier's trees, but they just don't have the depth to beat the Muskies overall.
Yeah, Xavier needs to watch out for Ballin Boy there for Weber State. He is a real good player. But let's go to the final topic of the night, which is putting down these brackets here. Who do you think, once we get to our Final Four, is actually going to cut down the nets and have the one-shotting moment and all that? Matt, let me start with you. Who is your national champion here?
I'm going to go with the Kansas Jayhawks. I think it'll be Bill Self right off into the sunset, into the NBA after this. I think he takes Kansas one more time to the national title.
I don't think I see him going to the NBA, but John T., do you agree with the NBA for Bill Self? And more importantly, who's your pick to win it all?
I don't, although I didn't think Billy Donovan would leave either, so who knows about that. It seems like Kansas and Michigan State have been picked by a lot of people across the board, so I kind of think it's chalk of Kansas, Michigan State, but if there's any year to pick a 3 or a 4 seed, this is the year, just because like everybody's beaten everyone this year. So if you are betting against John Calipari in March in general, much less this year with this team, I really think, I know it's not a huge upset for Kentucky to win it all, but as a 4 seed, I think they are very dangerous.
You actually kind of stole my thunder there a little bit. I'm actually going for Kentucky to be in the title game, but I have them losing there to the Oklahoma Sooners. That's my national champion. John S., who's your champion?
I went with them in the preseason, and I'm not going to go off the bandwagon now. And that's going to be Arizona over Michigan State in the title game.
Wow. Well, so you are going out on a limb here. David, are you going to go with Wisconsin to win it all?
No. I judging by what Kansas has been doing recently, I mean, just blowing through Baylor. I know Baylor came back a little bit to make it interesting in the regular season. And, they just blew through the strongest conference. And I don't think anybody really even made them sweat. I think it's going to be Kansas.
Well, again, I see that Kansas-Oklahoma national semifinal, and that's where I think it's going to be a hell of a game, but that's where I see Oklahoma finally getting Kansas, and that's why I'm going with Oklahoma to win it all.
Yeah.
But, of course, they both got to get there first, and who knows, we could be talking, you know, come Friday afternoon about how, you know, we've lost 2-1 seeds and 2-2 seeds already or something crazy. You never know.
Right.
It's been a heck of a year. But I guess on the note, I want to run through and see if there's any final thoughts from each of you. David, let me start with you.
Thunder Dan is on TV. Let's wrap this up.
Matt?
I think this is a big tournament for the Big East. And like, I think it's played as one of the top 3-4 leagues the last 2 years. Now they've got to prove it in March, and I think they can get it done. I've got Xavier in the Final Four, Nova in the Elite Eight, and actually both Providence and Hall in the Sweet 16.
Big tournament for the Big East for Matt. John S.,
I'm not going to be as much of a Big East homer as I have been the past couple years, although I did pick Xavier to get to the Final Four. I do think Villanova finally gets to the Sweet 16, but I don't see him getting any further than that.
Which would, again, be another disappointment. Yeah. John Titel.
In the right direction.
I think it's just been such a wild season that I'm pretty confident that we're not going to have 4 number ones, and frankly, like, I would not be shocked if there's no number ones. They say that there's 15 legit teams to win it. There are, like, I would not be surprised if there's 0 number ones in the Final Four.
Yeah, I think it has been, and you know, always started the show off with criticizing the committee. I think there are some really good things they did do in this bracket with potential matchups, things like the Texas A&M, the Villanova versus Temple, and even setting up
Indiana.
Kentucky-Indiana as a potential second-round matchup, a huge rivalry that's gone away, and even setting up an in-conference rivalry in the first round as Miami plays Buffalo.
Right. Odd they did that, yeah.
On that note, we want to thank everybody for joining us again, and we'll talk to you again real soon. Thanks.